Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Subhadra Swami kaže da mi razumijemo značenje svih riječi, na primjer avijan, kamen i slično, zato što je Krišna u njima. I citira Vedanta Sutru 2.3.15 koja kaže: svaka riječ je ime Gospoda. Molim te reci nešto o tome na koji način Krišna određuje značenje riječi, na koji način se nalazi u jeziku. So Subhadra Swami says that we can understand the meaning of all words, for example airplane, stone and etc., because Krishna is within them. And he quotes Vedanta Sutra 2.3.15, which says, every word is the name of the Lord. Can you please say something about that? In which way Krishna determines the meanings of the words, and in which way is he present in the language?
I was going to say, you answered those questions. I've just been speaking for the last 5.5 hours.
Nice question. In what way is Krishna the sound? The meaning of every word.
In which way Krishna determines the meaning of the words, and in which way is he present in the language?
Well, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yaya vibhudimat satvam Srimad orjitam eva va tattad eva vagachatvam mamate jansa sambhavam. Whatever glory, whatever beautiful, mighty, and glorious creations there are, they spring from by the spark of my splendor. And in the Brahma Samhita, it says that every Krishna is in every atom of every universe, and within Krishna is everything. So explain how he does it, you'll have to ask him. I couldn't do it. It just so happens. Bhavanam Jamanamante Gyanamam Prabhajate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sir Mahatma Sudurlava. Krishna says, when you pass through many births and deaths and you cultivate knowledge, then gradually one day you'll find out that everything is Krishna.
The Krishna.
So factually the universe is manifested by Krishna's desire. And therefore, in one sense, he's everything. But he says, I'm not under the control of material energy. So, what to speak of the meaning of words? He's everything, not only words, he's everything. How he does it, he says, by his inconceivable potency. So, since it's inconceivable, what am I going to say? Only Krishna, who reveals his inconceivable potency, can you conceive of it. And anyhow, our business is not... Our main business is to find out what Krishna wants us to do, not to try and figure out Krishna's omnipotent energies.
Which
energy? If we're going to capture them within our limited brain, then we'll be able to do the same thing as Krishna's doing. So better we stick to what's within the realm of our intellectual capacity. Usually that's, what does Krishna really want us to do to serve him? Therefore, in one sense, Prabhupada says, dry arguments and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, one should get a clear understanding, submission, service. My question is, if you understand the answer to that question, how will that affect your devotional service to Krishna? What will you do different in your devotional service that will make it more pure by understanding it? And even if I could give the answer, what would be your qualification to understand it? And how? And above everything, how is that question exactly connected with devotional service? What inspires that question? I don't know. Maybe it does. I mean, maybe someone has an answer to that. But I think generally our question should be something that will help us become more submissive and develop more devotion for Krishna. And if it doesn't, I mean, it may be a nice question in some respect, but I personally wouldn't have an answer to it. I mean, the whole world, Krishna says, is full of his singing, Krishna book. But everyone is understanding in a different way. Sadva nirupa sarvasha sharad bhavati bharada sharama yoyam purusha yoyas chara sevasaha. Under the influence of the material nature, one evolves a particular type of faith. And according to one's activities, according to that faith, one will evolve another kind of faith. So, the conclusion from what I have to say is that we should understand that everything comes from Krishna. Now our business is to find out whatever Krishna has given us, how to utilize that in His service to please Him. That would be the most important thing. As far as how we perceive things, right now we don't see Krishna, nor do we even see the things that around us in relation to Krishna. So let us just accept that everything is Krishna's property, meant for His service, and utilize things for Krishna's service. Then we'll remember Krishna, and then we'll see things. Then we'll see things in relation to Krishna. That's probably within our capacity.
Would you like to add to that, man?
There are many philosophers in the world, and there are some basic philosophical problems that what they call philosophical problems that arise, what they consider unsolved or unsolvable mysteries. Language is mystical. If I say to you, I saw a cow, you'll understand what I meant, although it's just some sounds which are emanating from my mouth. The sound cow is connected with when we hear the sound cow, we conceptualize a generic cow within our mind. So in linguistics, it's considered a mystery how one person saying something can, how that can communicate even complex concepts using different words, and one, the idea which is in someone's mind, which is formed by words, becomes transmitted to another person. So that problem is very simply solved by Krishna. He is the substantive principle in everything. Rasoham apsukam taya, He is the taste of water. Tejas tejasvinamaham, He is the power of the powerful. Everything is defined by its characteristics. And the definitive characteristic of everything, as Maharaj was quoting, yadyadvibhuti matsabham, that is Krishna. All variety expands from Krishna. All energies are Krishna. So the principle by which words represent concepts and they can be communicated to others, that the life force or in that is Krishna. Or as the impersonalists would say, Brahman. They have an idea that there is one basic energy of which all manifestations are somehow or other, although everything is one, all energies are a manifestation of the one Brahman. But Krishna explains that all the energies are a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Krishna makes everything possible. So it's a vast subject. Vedanta Sutra touches on some of that. It's not a new, it's linguistic, the whole discussion of how sound, that is a major theme of Vedanta Sutra, how sound, how sound communicates the truth. So for those who are Gyanis, Bahunam Jamanam Ante Gyanavang Mangrupajanta, if they can come to this understanding that what they're searching for in every field is Krishna, then they understand Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Then everything clicks. Then they can understand how everything works when they understand that Krishna is behind everything and is everything. And it's the perfect explanation of everything. Otherwise, everything remains mystical. Still, it's mystical, as Maharaj was saying. We don't know how Krishna does it. But as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, it is He is the substantive principle of everything, and if we can accept that, it becomes very easy to understand. If we just see Krishna everywhere and in everything, Otherwise it remains ununderstandable. It'll always be, everything will always be a mystery unless we accept Krishna. Unless we accept Krishna's inconceivable energy, everything remains inconceivable. As soon as we accept his inconceivable energy, then everything becomes conceivable. So Vedanta Sutra is for very complicated, intellectually minded people. There's no need to be complicated in devotional service. It's often an obstacle. There are such people in the world, and they usually spew out complicated nonsense, and people think they are intelligent, and they're misled by such people. So for those who have very big brain capacity, like Suhotra Swami had, they can get into all this and sort out all the complex nonsense of all the complex intellectuals and give them the actual understanding. And for the rest of us, we can chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And study Bhagavad Gita as it's more. For a few people, there may be a big intellectual need. Yeah, and for people like that with big, very active brains, they need something like that, and it's there. Everything is there. And when they come to the end of all that, going through this philosophy, that philosophy, inside, upside down, this angle, that angle, they have Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is everything. And in the meantime, we're chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, Sahaja Swami is also chanting Hare Krishna. That's why he understood everything. The answer to both questions is yes and no. Both answers are perfectly correct. Yeah, everything, what is there? Actually, Ishvara, Prakriti, Kala, Karma, Jiva. Everything is included within these five subjects. Then if we examine more, then there are subcategories, unlimited subcategories, right down to this. This is also a sub-sub-sub-sub-sub-sub-sub-sub-category. And, and then what was that, epistemology? Guru Sadhu Shastra, yes? Is there any other? Yes and no. Everything is condensed within that. As we were just discussing, Jiva Goswami presented 10 pramanas, of which they can be condensed into 3. So, and then the discussion of Shabda Pramana, and then the language, words, communication, how does it work, all this question that comes up. That's what we were discussing just now. Because the philosophers, they want to analyze everything and get everything just right, in every detail. So they'll ask question. I say, one person says this, and then the other person understands it. How does he understand it? Does he get exactly the right idea? All these questions are going on. What is the communication? Something's written in Shastra, and how is that to be understood? So these are all excruciatingly complex questions. But very simply, yes, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Simply, straightforwardly, that's perfect. And then again, we have to understand, who is Guru, who is Sadhu, what is Shastra? How do we understand Shastra from Guru? Is the Guru, he is explaining Shastra, has he become more than Shastra, or is Shastra more than Guru? And then the role of our own intelligence, and there are so many points to consider. So we should have a research institution and have all these points analyzed in great detail for the dwindling race of philosophers. It was never a very big race in the first place, but they've been replaced by Batman, Spider-Man, Tom and Jerry, Miss World, and David Beckham, and all these people. So Srila Prabhupada said that the philosophical department of the university, they keep it open even though there's only one or two people. So everything we need to be fully Krishna conscious is in Srila Prabhupada's books. To substantiate this to the wranglers, not jeans, that means people who wrangle. They go on discussing, and never come to any conclusion. We should present this in all detail. We should history, philosophy, science, all points. All the libraries of the world should be replaced with Krishna conscious literature in every subject. And for there was so much, the Buddhists destroyed a whole bunch, and then the Muslims destroyed a whole bunch, and whatever's left is just being eaten by termites. But we should have Krishna conscious. We should get the answer to all philosophies of the world, the perfect answer. Yeah, then. Next question.
What does it mean to focus the mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to focus the intelligence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
So Krishna says, Savasya Chaham Ridhi Sanavishto Madak Smritir Gyanam Aponam Cha. That from Krishna comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgiveness. If we hear from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and accept what they say, then Krishna gives us remembrance of Him, knowledge about Him, forgetfulness and material concepts. And if we don't hear from Krishna, or from Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then the result is Krishna helps us forget Him, gives us knowledge about things that apart from Him, remembrance, knowledge, and forget, and it helps us forget Him. So that depends upon us. Intelligence is stated as one of Krishna's energies. That energy, the jiva soul, is supposed to develop in association with devotees by submissive hearing and service. Krishna says, Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam, I give the intelligence by which one can come to Me. And He says, Indriyani Puranyahur, Indriyadiyat Paramanat, Manasasti Puro Bhudir, Yobude Paratasu Saha. So when we use that intelligence that Krishna gives us to connect with Him, and when we connect with Him, automatically the mind and the senses become purified and are engaged in His service. Therefore, one cannot think about, but one will only think about Krishna. Or as Krishna says, one who can see Me everywhere and sees everything in Me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to Me. So when we use the intelligence that Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra give us in Krishna's service, then the result is bhakti pareshanu vyaktir anyatra trika ekakala apanamanasi tashnatosus tushti pushti shudapai nugasam. Then naturally, we become detached from all things that draw our mind away from Krishna. Our natural love for Krishna and everything in relation with Krishna is invoked. And we're able to see more clearly how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. And therefore, the mind will be utilized in Krishna's service. Or as Krishna says, Udharad Atmanatmanam Atmanam Avasedayat Atmaiva Yatmano Bandura Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha. For one who has conquered the mind is the best of friends, and for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will be the greatest enemy. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is very rich, but he has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is very rich, for he has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, they're all the same. And Krishna analyzes this in the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada, Indriyani Mano Buddhya Asya Dishtanam Uchite Haitara Vimo Yatyesha Gyanam Avritya Dehina. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. And then Prabhupada says that everything begins with hearing. When we hear the glories of sense gratification, naturally the mind becomes absorbed in thoughts, or the senses become agitated by desires for sense gratification. Then next, the intelligence becomes the capital of the lust of propensities. Lust, the intelligence, influences the spirit soul, acquire a false ego and let's misidentify itself with the mind and senses for sense gratification. Just like, as I said before, a man is on the street and he sees a beautiful woman, and immediately the mind and senses say, go get her. But there's a man next to her, and she has a dot on her forehead. So the intelligence says, wait a second. She has a dot on her forehead. She has a man next to him. She might be married. And the mind and senses say, oh, don't listen to that intelligence. Always saying the same thing. Next is going to quote from Bhagavad Gita. Fanatic. We know life is simple. There's only one truth. If it feels good, then you do it. Didn't you learn that in school? So the intelligent say, well, I don't know. This doesn't sound very intelligent. And therefore, the soul has to make a decision. If it doesn't have enough intelligence, then naturally it'll just accept the dictation of the mind and senses. So the soul tells the intelligence, my dear intelligence, stop talking all this nonsense about scripture and this and that. Do something practical. Think of a way of meeting her. So since the intelligence is subordinate to the soul, so the intelligence says, all right. So write her a letter. Tell her she's the most beautiful woman you've seen, and put in small letters, in the last 2 weeks. Tell her you want to meet her in a dark, secluded place. And there you'll give her everything. The sun. Swanson. The sun. Sun, swan, sun,
sun. Oh, you said a sun.
That comes later. The moon.
Yes,
and if she's really nice to you, you'll throw in a few stars also. But then the intelligence says, don't sign the letter. Because that man next to her, he's twice as big as you are. On the other hand, if the soul has enough intelligence, his intelligence is strong enough, then the soul tells the intelligence, think of a plan how to sell her book. Go up to her, give her a Krishna book, and give him a Srimad Bhagavatam. Or a set of Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Oh!
And ask for €5.
Yeah.
So that's different intelligence. That intelligence will control the mind and senses, engage them in Krishna service. Krishna will appear, and the intelligence and senses and mind and the soul will all become ecstatic.
Next question is to be answered by Maridana Prabhu. In the meantime, we have said some Chaitanya Charitamrita here for only €5. You all have sets of Chaitanya Charitamrita at home, right? Take another one, or two, or three. Only €5, what a great gift. Okay, Gokul Chandra is going to take one. Please, no, it's in Serbo-Croatian, in the old language. Please take, humbly request you, or dominatingly order you, or fall at your feet, or whatever. Whatever works, whatever you like. Take a few sets, give to your friends, enemies, everyone. 50 sets. We have 50 sets here. Last time Maridana Prabhu took some and sold them on as he was driving back, right? So Slovenes can also take them? There's an order from Slovenia. Lokesh Prabhu, how many sets are you taking? Time to get back into...
5, 10.
You have to pay for them. Take a set to check and find out Nanda Patni, and she's from Croatia.
Yes.
So get her set to her. Okay. I'll pay for it. Thank you. I'm taking one sip. We'll all sign it. If you want special blessings, you can all sign it. One book. Is that all right? I volunteered you for another service.
Okay.
It's worth it just distributing the books, right? The English magazine arrives here for that. We'll see. We'll see local and surrounding signing section. You're selling such a Bhagavatam in Sadhu. Instead of saying what a great thing you're selling Bhagavatam for, they're saying, why is he signing the book? I've never seen that rag. I know how you I always get to see it somehow.
I don't really take it seriously.
I look at it when I sometimes I discuss the points in the past. Because people are influenced by the people. A lot of people really. Beautifully presented in the classroom. Design. So what's the next question, please? If you can't read it, then don't bother. Take another one.
How? How great is significance of book distribution? Most of people seem not to understand the message, or they don't read much. What is their benefit? Of course, many people read also, but they are not taking Krishna consciousness so easy. Do we need more bridges follow-up programs? Kolika je važnost objedinjena knjiga? Čini se da većina ljudi ne razumije poruku ili jednostavno ne čitaju mnogo. Koja je dobrobit za njih? Naravno, mnogi ljudi također čitaju, ali ne prihvataju svjesno slične tako ovako. Da li nam treba više mostova ili follow-up programa, znači programa kojima ćemo oduprijeti to uvjerenje knjiga?
Yeah, okay, you got till 8:30.
Reputation here.
I can only relate to something Bhakti Vikash Maharaj said as yesterday or the day before. We have a clear evidence that Srila Prabhupada preached. You listen to his lectures. He preached about on a level of Krishna consciousness which was obviously not understood by these stoned hippies. If you want to have visual evidence, look at the DVD documentary on Srila Prabhupada, and don't watch Srila Prabhupada, watch the disciples. First DVDs you find this kind of figures lying there in the center feast in the just watch 2 years later, same person, preaching philosophy. Watch 2 years later, you have Prabhupada marching, across the fields in Mayapur and accompanied by sannyasis and same persons. How is this possible? Because of purity. So this is the point we have to work on. We have to plaster our lack of purity with all kinds of substitutes, and to reach out people's minds by somehow pleasing them, inspiring them. It doesn't help in one level, we go one level deeper. If that doesn't work, then we go one level deeper.
What do you mean?
I mean, with our presentation, lower.
Lower.
Below the mind?
Yeah, actually. We go from the intelligence to the mind, and ultimately we are only the senses. How can we make you feel good so you accept Krishna consciousness? Well, it can make me feel good when you give me a cigar, you know. Well, it's also vegetarian, okay. I said, Krishna consciousness is very good. I like you guys, but you want to stop with this. Because a cigar will not displease him either. You have to come up with something even lower. And by the time they love you all, you are worse as them. Maybe, you know. And you sit there with a beer glass in hand, cigar, you go, horrible. That's the end of preaching. Preaching to whom? Do they preach to you or you preach to them? So, therefore, you know, any Sankirtan devotee knows. It doesn't even matter what you say, really, on the street. It means how you say it. If your sound vibration and your purpose is pure, they will take the book. They don't understand. Today, I give a very practical example. Two German tourists here. Ended them like 1 hour. They were very good because they didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. Along the road here, back from the Liptich Kaisera, there's only people walking across, you know, to his wife. He had to stop the car. This is far. This is, you know, these people. Look at this. This is not Croatia. This is, appeared in a Sunday, kind of, just when the prasadam was smaller. He had a very serious philosophical question. Actually, I don't remember which ones. Just some Mayavadi garbage. He didn't believe himself. He did what he heard. He has to say something spiritual-like. I completely ignore what he's saying. And I try a little bit rationally explain life comes from life and this and... He said, yes, life comes from life. The scientists are making the life. And I said, no, they don't make the life. They just, you know, try, but it's not life. He said, no, but it was moving. It was bubbling. I read the newspaper. That kind of level. When you cook water, it also comes alive. You know? I told him, when you cook water, it also comes alive. I told him, you believe in newspaper. You read the newspaper. He said, no. So, the next point. But the real thing, what really made an impact upon him, his wife also. And this is amazing. Not all the karmas get it that quickly. They just watch the devotees all the time. They were aware of such a details which were going on in this room, you cannot imagine. You wouldn't see it. Okay, wife all the time, look at these people. You know, they are so happy. And then he said, look, they are serving each other all the time. He turned to me and he said, one doesn't see things like this every day, you know. And then he got the prasadam, you know. And the wife, she was obviously not so small. So she said, I have to take more. We have more. You know, she liked the sabji. And she was just... you know. And he said, yeah. And there was devotees all the time around. And he said... Yes, you don't get it in a restaurant like this, you know?
Local restaurant,
everybody's got a chair. And Sam's attitude was completely overpowering him. And he said, it's only young people here. Look how they are serving each other, young people. Because, you know, normally young people don't serve each other. This was the thing which really stuck to him. He was so impressed. By action, by example, activity. And the book. I mean, do you understand everything that's in the book? I don't. I don't understand what's in Prabhupada's book said, but I think I just didn't think, you know, there are sections you just read. The universe was created. Great, I can just read this. And what do they understand? And this was one that Prakash Maharaj made, and people became devotees. Many. Today we try to analyze why it's not happening today, you know. Yeah, times changed, and, you know, and it's 2010, and, yeah, and, you know, and this is all patchwork, you know, we just try to explain our own incompetence and lack of purity, that's all. Prabhupada said it, people will come simply because of the purity of the devotees. That's, so a person, I cannot relate to this discussion, to this helpless, sometimes I have to say very pathetic attempts to please the conditioned soul. Sometimes we even say, look, they were so happy, they are devotees. The question is, what are they doing? Are they joining Srila Prabhupada's mission or not? Are they contributing to Srila Prabhupada's mission or not? Are they becoming the International Society for Hindu Consciousness?
Namaskar.
That's it. That's it. That's devotional service. That's it. I can fly on Air India, I get the same thing. From the stewardess.
Namaskar.
The same thing. Isn't she a pure devotee? That's it. Is Srila Prabhupada wanting us to end up with? This is something I want to pray for. And Prabhupada prayed when he was on the ship before he reached America. He prayed for that.
Prabhupada,
please, Krishna, make my words so they can understand, they can take it. And it was Krishna who did actually kick these hippies and just listen, pure devotee. Can you imagine when Prabhupada said, you have to accept spiritual masters, they asked him where to find him. Prabhupada didn't say, he didn't point, nothing. Just my spiritual master saved me. So then he realized, oh, maybe you are the spiritual master if you're saying. And the whole movement started from there. So it's the faithfulness, it's the purity, it's the dedication which impress people and they want to be part of it. Otherwise, weeks and weeks of seminar meetings, you know, they know that. Mayavadis do this all the time. And I know in Germany, it's very fashionable in Germany, it's a good business. You rent a fancy hotel somewhere in the mountains, make a big posters, you know, come together and feel the inside. You know, and they come with their Mercedes, they park their BMWs, and they come out, you know, the German spirituality. You know, they come out, you know, and they go, oh, you know, little Reiki massage, little Kama Sutra, they are happy, they go home. You can say it was a successful program, they're all happy. Yeah, you can make some money like this. Is this what you're supposed to go in this direction? So, I really like the program. It's, you know, it's when you tell the truth, people will respond, even they don't know. It's the soul. How incompetent we were in our preaching methods when I joined. In Germany, 1972, you know, it's like, they didn't even know, it was half terroristic movement, the preaching, you know, it was like, you know, that came later. The devotees were away going, you know, come join us, take revenge on a society, kill them all. And then the Bhaktas joined by this, you know.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Good, Chan Hare Krishna. They did the movement. I mean, how? But it was pure in that sense that everybody wanted someone to please Prabhupada. The concept of Prabhupada wasn't exactly clear, but you know, but the idea was that to please him.
You walked
in a temple. Walked in a temple the first moment, and I was not intending to join. I said, this is a mess here. Just a pile of shoes in front of the door was really discouraging. First, the body came down the stairs, looked at me. He was going, Prabhupada ki jai! And then he just left. And I was going, I came out of the bathroom next minute. I was still standing in the door. He just shaved. Not a good time, he just shaved. And he came out. And I never saw anybody like this. It was like a, you know, like some really heavy yogi coming down from Himalaya. He had this face, you know, with his teeth coming out. And, you
know,
he just came out. And he kind of cut himself a little bit. There was a little blood running down. Sit down in front of me. So heavy that I sit down too. You know? He looked me straight in my eyes.
50 euros.
You know, he looked straight in my eyes and he said, "We are not this body." I said, "Maybe he's not the body." He said, "Tomorrow comes Sankirtan glories." Dead. Just a bunch of guys, and just a suitcase dashing in the door, and Sankirtan ki jai! And of course, this is a good preaching for an 18 years old kid coming in the door, like me. I guess some university professor would be rather repelled. But I joined. I joined because I knew I must.
Prabhupada is so dedicated.
He's really just ready
to die for Prabhupada.
Wasn't
really a big issue to die for Prabhupada.
There
was zero fear in the air. Zero concern for one's social and economic future. I knew nothing about philosophy, but it was so impressive. I never saw people like this. So I had to jump. I'm not saying we have to replay it in all detail or running down and but the purpose was pure. Cannot replace it with 1,000 other sub programs. I'm not going to say anything.
One point it was said that people aren't reading the books. A generation ago, people had hardly, in this part of the world, people had hardly heard of reincarnation or karma. Pretty much, even the old woman in the village has heard of it now. And many people believe in it. Where's that coming from? Any suggestion? Who's propagating this? It's only from Prabhupada's books. It's bogus that people aren't reading the books. This couldn't have happened unless people were reading Prabhupada's books. Who is propagating reincarnation karma? Definitely people are reading books. Some people, even if 100 people don't read and one person reads and becomes a devotee, or even if 1,000 or 10,000, that's great. Prabhupada wasn't mistaken when he said there's no better way of preaching Krishna consciousness than distributing his books. He knew exactly what he was doing. We don't. Better we follow him.
Do toddlers get bad karma if parents give them brains and kalashin? Da li mala djeca stječu lošu karmu ako im roditelji daju žitarice na kalashin?
No.
Ne.
Hari Bhakti Vilas says that from the age of 8 to 80 it should be followed. Yeah, the next question. Okay, 50 euros. Catch them. Give them 10 sets of Chaitanya Charitamrita. We should enforce this, actually. I mean, people laugh when they say this, but unless you enforce it, then the cell phones keep on going on. You have to catch them and take them on. It's the only way. Otherwise, the cell phones will keep on going on.
The cat or the bull was being beaten by the Shudra, and he was asked who did it. And therefore he went through the complicated philosophical process by which ultimately he reached the conclusion that we'd have to blame it on Krishna because he's the doer. Well, actually there are 5 factors, and Krishna is always one of the factors. But I don't know about, it doesn't say revealing the sinner, it means blame the sinner, the person who's perpetuating or perpetrating the act against you, to blame him. But the devotees know, ultimately, that if anything happens to them, it has to be under Krishna's direction. And tate nukam pamasu samit shamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam vidvat vapubir vidadam manaste Shivetiyo bhukti sadai sadayavak. Padai sadayavak. They know that if they're suffering some reaction, it's due to their own past mistakes. Otherwise, and Krishna's arranging for their purification. Therefore, to blame the other person and not to recognize one's own part in what's happening means that the valuable lesson that one will learn is tolerance. Fixing one's mind upon Krishna instead and continuing on with one's devotional service will probably be forgotten. Rather than wasting our time trying to figure out exactly who's the perpetrator and why they're doing this to us, generally we should just tolerate, try to find out what Krishna wants us to do under these circumstances, then react as Krishna's servant rather than as reflex to our material problems. Then vivedi yad bhukti sabed daiva. Then one will actually become the inheritor of Krishna's mercy. Because the mind won't deviate from Krishna, it'll remain in Krishna. The mind, one's consciousness won't deviate from service to Krishna. Like people who try to figure out who they were in their last lifetime. And if they found out in their last lifetime they were a frog, what would they do? It doesn't matter whether you were a frog or you were Napoleon. The question is what you're doing in this lifetime, so you don't become a frog in your next one.
Hare Krishna, what is the reason that we hear about book distribution as a main Eastern activity or the importance of books only in Lika camp, Hare Krishna?
Only on Lika camp.
This is one of these questions which already has a pre-written answer to it. But I will, if I'm supposed to answer it all, I will try to answer it. And I'm going to go along the pre-written answer. Now there are more places where book distribution is glorified.
You know, in Loka.
But even in Europe, you have to go to Loka. It doesn't come automatically. Sometimes the Bhaktis ask me, what's the difference between the time you joined and today? Yeah, there is difference in this form. I got it served right away in a doorway before I walked even in the temple. It was clear what to do. And it was the last thing I wanted to do. The last thing I planned to do. Because everybody was doing it. So what could I do? I could go home to Mama. That was easy. And I understand today we have in this regard different days. But why to lose the basis? You know. Yeah. It's like you grow a garden and the water system breaks down. You grow a garden, you know, and then the watering system breaks down. So it grew nicely, but then it dries out. This is the water, it's gone. And I dare to say here publicly, because if you abandon the Buddhist solution, this movement will not flourish. It will dissolve into something else. Guaranteed. Not just by distributing, but by reading these books. It's kind of connected. When you don't read them, you don't distribute them. When you don't distribute them, you don't read them. And I know all the areas in Europe where to come across a quote from Prabhupada is really a rare thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so much talk about anything else but Prabhupada. So I don't want to make this too, you have to come to Lika to hear about book distribution. But the faith into that fact that book distribution is the basis of this movement got largely diminished. So what shall we do? We have just to try to revive it again. Yes. It's not, you know, up to some bunch of old dying guys like me. It's up to everybody. New Bhaktis coming who are getting it. They're getting it right. Only one or two like this, there will be more. There was once upon a time, 10 years ago, there was one devotee in the whole Germany who had faith that book distribution has to survive. Yes. One devotee in the whole Germany. He was going alone out, you know. And soon he met some boy, he wanted to do it too. There were two. There was no support from ISKCON whatsoever to save book distribution in Germany 10 years ago. At least there was no obstacle. And now Germany has, you know, in German mass media you can see there is 10 Sankirtan men standing in front of the door. Because they saw, oh, he's doing it. Oh, I have to do it too. Ah, he's blessed. Oh, look how he's so blessed by distributing Prabhupada's books. I want that bliss too, you know. He to join because of that bliss. So I would rather, instead of spending days of analyzing what went wrong, I would say, let's get one, give him all support so he can distribute books. He becomes blissful, he will make another one blissful. And it goes. I could say much more on this, but this is going to be very controversial. It takes everybody, all the leaders, everybody, to go in the same direction. When you preach this and you try to live it, Prana Maharaj is still going, isn't it? I hear it all the time. You were in Finland, right?
Yeah.
I came to Finland shortly after him.
The
first thing he always told me, you know, he did 13 books here in a shopping street, you know.
Yeah. If I would ask him, what did he say in the lecture? Was some deep philosophical point? I don't think I would remember. But they all remember. He was in a shopping street, he was distributing, you know. It's just honestly, it's just needed. It was minus 20, I was with him. I did 5 books or something like this in 1 hour. We were just 1 hour. It was so cold, you know. And they were all running around those piles of snow like this. They were running up and down, you know. Just because, and they come around the corner and they saw, hey, you need a book, you know, and then they run again, you know. And next to me was the present GBC. He is the next one. GBC, let's go out. He's doing it since 15, 20 years. I didn't change one cent. So, it's very simple. You see such an example, it's going to go out. But what do you see, Marino Bhaktapati? He will see, oh, he's the authority, GBC. He's going on. Okay? To go out too, you know. And you will have the same book distribution as before. Even better. He had so much obstacles. In Germany, you had distributed, you know, so many books being chased by the police like rabbits. Our Bhakta program started with like this. There are 3 kinds of police. Interaction with the German Bhakta program. Until today, I'm so damaged when I go on Sankirtan, I run. German devotees, those days, there was nobody walking, we measured it. There was nobody walking less than 40 to 50 kilometers a day. Move, where's the police? In Germany?
Saddam, Germany.
Drag these trolleys, you know, these big bags and wheels, and they tie it to the pole. the whole day. If I would do it, 1979, I would be in 5 minutes in a police station, including the bag. And people just come and they go, yeah, you know. I always tell the stories. I distributed 1 year ago in Mannheim. This is a town I first time was standing on the street. I was in a shopping street, you know, and suddenly a policeman on a bike.
Came.
And I said, no, it's 2009 or something. So I just kept on distributing, and he was heading straight for me with the bike. And I was going, okay, let's see what happens, you know. And he just came passing me by. And he noticed I'm focused on him. And he just passed me by, parked the bike in front of the entrance of the shopping house. Because he was going shopping. And he turned around, looked at me, and he said, keep on going! You know what? You think they have devotees? Paradise on earth. So much. This German tourist dropping in a drawer. And when I see the stream of this, I can read the number plates quite well. I really know in Germany which town they come from. I say, oh, maybe I should stay with Murali, you know, for a while. Just make a roadblock here. You know, imagine I make a little roadblock, you know, and I just slow the traffic down here. Because they don't believe this road leads to Lipčička Jezera. It's Croatia, you know, it's a countryside with holes in it. And this is supposed to be a big tourist, you know, attraction, and a road like in somebody's backyard, you know. Prospects from Lipčička Jezera, you know. Maybe they will give it to me when I go there. And I will have this in one hand and going, Lipčička Jezera, yes, here, you know. Slowly, you know, spaced out. Even the Germans look humble here. Germans look humble. Today, one day, we with prasadam bags. Unless, I guess, the police wouldn't stop me, you know, that I'm obstructing the traffic. You know, gone, out of their, you know, countries, lost. Hare Krishna, you know, in the middle of the jungle.
So now for something practical. Where's the set? Okay, show us how it's done. You've got a whole room full of people. They all know Silva. Well, most of them know Silva Kweishu.
I said Maharaj last time, as you mentioned. Mm. So we already had a little presentation here with the sets. And I mentioned the story from Kirk, you know, when I was last time leaving. I know this is a hook on this. Everybody goes, Serbo Croatia. But that's exactly what the lady told me in a shop in a Kirk. It was a hotel. And inside there were some few shops on the bottom floor. But I just passed by. And I had this concept. And I just walked in the shop. And the lady was nice. I could see it. She was nice. But when she looked at the book, she was going, no. And I knew. I told him, Serbo Croatia. And he said, she said, you know this language, when I read it, when I hear it, it remembers me on all the horrible things I had to read. These books are very special. Because they are written in Serbo Croatian for the purpose to show that you are neither Serbs nor neither Croatian. And she started to laugh. She said, come. Because you see, we are this body, we actually saw. She was very nice. She picked
it up.
So we are Croatians, they are Serbian, so it's written in both languages, they both can read in these books, because the content is that we are not Croatians and not Serbians, and so it's written for both, they can read. And she just started to laugh. She said, it sounded like we invented Serbo-Croatian, but we can, you know. You're talking nonsense. Yes, I do, but, you know, the point is that these books show you that you are not, and she started to get curious, and at the end she said, okay, I will take it, you know, because, you know, but it is actually a fact. It was written in a mood for Serbs and Croatians, Serbo-Croatian, but actually the content is all garbage. We are not this body, you know. We are not Serbs, we are not Croatians. Which was a very pleasant thing to hear from her, because she knew the root of this whole fighting was that they were thinking they are Serbs and Croatians. And here in this book, you have evidence they are not. So, you know, that was just a joke, you know, when I told her. About Shastadana, he spoke about, that when everybody starts to think about this, there's for sure a way to place this book, you know, into libraries or whatever, or, you know. This is, I don't know the local circumstances. Let us know that there's a sincere soul. There's 20,000 of these in a book library. I can assure you they can go out. And I mentioned this in my presentation. There's a danger to it. They will be burnt or scrapped. Burn and scrap all of our books. But I was also very upset when I heard this first time. But Brown whatever will explain to me that they are occasions, and they are like, especially in Russia, that was the issue. I traveled all the Russian book lovers I know after 10 years ago what a problem that was. And that if you scrap the books and from the money you get, you print new books up to date here for devotees which they can right away distribute, he found it somewhat justified. Even the BBT trustees, of course, there was meetings on this. It's not his single action. But still, why to do this?
There's another problem.
So Maharaj, you wanted to
make some action? Yeah. You can take the books. It's not a very sophisticated presentation. But who would like to take the set of books?
Put them in his lap.
Yeah. You're taking one. I'm taking one. Lokesh is taking 9. Gorchandran is taking 3. Okay, come and get them. Bring the sets. Let's do it.
Well, there are no sets. There are books in the boxes. There is no sets.
Well, can we give but one as like a kind of show? Get people inspired.
It's written down already. We know that we
have. Yeah, but if we give it and we make get a little action and then other people feel like coming and then we can sign one book each. Where are the books? Lokesh wants to take 9 sets of books.
Yes.
And who had their cell phone go off?